Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 6, reading verse 11 through 13. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Heavenly Father, once again we open your word, and once again I'm humbled and greatly honored to be in your presence. I'm so grateful for salvation. I'm so grateful for the things that you've shown to me, and that you've given to me, and that you've given to all the church. I worship you. I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you. Lord, I'm so grateful that you've called me to be your son. I'm so grateful that you took me from the path I was on, that you saved me, that you took time for me. And I pray for my listeners that you'd reveal yourself to them as you have to me. Help me to preach and grant understanding to those that are listening. And I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, all the worship, all the credit. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm sure everyone listening to me today has heard this story preached, the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the feeding of the 5,000. You've heard about it in Sunday school, perhaps on Sunday morning in the service. If you've read the Word of God at all, and generally most Christians, they'll end up reading or beginning to read in the book of Matthew. This story, the feeding of the 5,000, is told in all 4 Gospels. There were actually 2 events, the feeding of the 5,000, and then later, a second miracle, the feeding of the 4,000. And I've taught on this event, or 2 events, before. And it's a wonderful story. The obvious miracle of Jesus turning 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food to feed a multitude. That's the obvious thing. But there's the reaction of the crowd. They wanted to make him a king. Then there's the reaction of the disciples. They were there. They saw the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw the multiplication of the food in the Lord's hands. He took the loaves and fishes, blessed, break, and gave. and handed to his disciples, and the disciples handed to others, and things were passed out. They saw the miracle. But as we read, later on they got into a boat. They thought that the weather being against them, they would perish. And we read that Christ rescued them, walking on the sea. The disciples were stumbling over the 12 baskets full of bread, trying to row the boat, trying to bail out the boat perhaps. The baskets full of bread were in their way. They forgot the miracle just a few hours before. So as I said, these two events, these two miracle feedings, there's a lot in these. There's a lot to be seen, a lot to be discovered, a lot to learn from. But today I would like to take a look at something else. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And the next verse, "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." Preaching for a few minutes, the title of my message, taken from verse 13, "The Barley Harvest." Five loaves and 2 fish. We understand that Jesus is the bread of life. And that word, "I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the true vine," etc. "I am." In Greek, ego eimi, I am, referring, of course, to the Old Testament, when Moses said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" And God said, "Tell them, I am, sent you." Jesus is referring to himself, making it plain and clear that he is God come in the flesh. But in this passage, he refers to himself as the bread of life. He says in verse 49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." You see, Jesus gives eternal life. I've preached it many times on this station. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And the only way to approach God and to be recognized of God, to be accepted by God, is through Jesus Christ, God's Son, the one who hung and died for the sins of the world. It says in the beginning of this book, the book of John, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. It says a few verses before that, that Christ is the light of the world, and he shines into the darkness of men. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 9, in verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Jesus is the answer for any problem that we face. But foremost, Jesus is the remedy for sin. Jesus is the only way to God. In Romans chapter 3 it said that God included everyone, every man, everyone that ever lived on the earth and ever will live. He concluded everyone to be in sin so that he could have grace and mercy upon all. Revelation, it says that whosoever will may come, and let him drink of the water of life freely. In chapter 7 of this book, John, at the great feast, the last day of the great feast, when the water was poured out for the Gentiles, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Christ is the bread that cometh down from heaven. He's the one that feeds the soul. He's the one that satisfies by the springs of living water. He's the one that God gave. He's the one that we need to preach. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. First you have the 5 loaves and 2 fish that Christ handles. Then these things are multiplied in his hands, and they're spread out, and everyone had enough to eat. So much so that there was some left over. Christ took the bread and fish, passed them out so that all could eat, and whatever was left over, the disciples gathered again and took these 5 barley loaves, the fragments thereof, and put them into 12 baskets. Turn with me quickly, if you will, to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 22. "And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel." Here God is speaking to Moses, giving a number of laws, and in the middle of it, he mentions 3 feasts, feasts of Israel. There were 7 feasts, 3 major ones, and 4 minor ones. All of these were important, but God required all the men in Israel, all the male Jews, to travel 3 times a year, 1 for each feast, the major feasts, and worship the Lord in Jerusalem. Eventually it was Jerusalem. They were in the desert when this command was given. But there were 3 major feasts, and he lists them. There's the Feast of Weeks. Then there's the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and then the Feast of Ingathering at year's end. Chronologically, as the calendar goes, in other words, it's out of order, this listing. The winter wheat crop was harvested first in the spring. Then came the barley harvest, which occurred around the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. And then the Feast of Ingathering at year's end, towards September, October, what have you. we said a bit ago, just a few minutes ago, that Christ is the bread of life. And we understand that Christ, He healed a lot of people, He preached a lot of great sermons, He raised Lazarus from the dead, He cleansed the lepers, He answered the Pharisees, He turned water into wine, and I can go for the rest of the program talking about the things that He did. But the most important thing that He did was to die on the cross of Calvary. He said again and again and again in the Gospels, and also it was prophesied in the Old Testament, that Christ's mission in coming to earth was to die on Calvary. A great man, to be sure, a prophet, certainly. A great example we should all follow, yes indeed. But the miracles never saved one soul. Raising Lazarus from the dead, or Jairus' daughter, or any of these things, they were great, they were fantastic. But none of these things purchased our salvation. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We're saved through blood, Christ's blood. The remission of sins comes through blood. Maybe some of you don't want to hear it. Maybe some of you'd wish that the program would end or that I'd just shut up. You don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus. You don't want to hear about His sacrifice on the cross. And I understand that. But it's through Christ that we are saved. And again, not His good works, not His miracles, not His sermons, but by His sacrifice on Calvary. And again, I said this listing in verse 22, here in Exodus chapter 34, is slightly out of order. But as the calendar goes, the next feast after the wheat harvest, and again, the wheat harvest is Passover. The next feast is the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50th, the 50th day after Passover. And we understand that the Spirit of God was poured out upon the church at the day of Pentecost. Christ gave His life and purchased our salvation, rose from the dead, spent time with His disciples. But 50 days after He died, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth. That is the message of Pentecost. We have this power that God gave to the church on the day of Pentecost, and it's available today, I might add. But the reason for the power of God is to be witnesses unto me, Christ said, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. I'm so thankful that I can say that I spent time on the mission field. I've been to several countries, most notably Haiti, and if you've listened to me any length of time, I've regaled you with stories of my great missionary adventures, or something. I'm glad that I can preach the gospel on the foreign field, but you see, that's what God called the church to do, is to preach the gospel around the world. The little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus Christ took them and multiplied them, and everyone was fed. That's the first feast and the second feast, Calvary and Pentecost. And today we're still in the time of Pentecost, where we have to win lost souls. We understand that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. There is a judgment coming, make no mistake. But this final feast, the feast of ingathering at the year's end, we sing the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. This last feast is symbolized by the 12 baskets that had the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above. The Feast of Ingathering. And again, there's the judgment coming. But the Christian is focused on heaven. The Christian is focused on what comes next. And this final feast, the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end, talks about heaven. It talks about when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. And I'm so happy. I, for one, am so happy that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm so happy. And I'm looking forward to walking on those streets of gold and seeing the Lord Jesus. But you see, that's what happens at year end, or at the end of the world. There's the judgment, I understand that, and everyone listening to me needs to make sure they're ready to meet the Lord. But the message here, with the 12 baskets full of barley loaves, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end, is that we're looking toward heaven. Jesus died for our sins and the sins of the world. We have to go into the highways and hedges and byways and to the uttermost parts of the earth to win the lost, to gather in lost souls and take them to heaven. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.